Now, today we're on the second of the nine fruit of the Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5, and verses 22 and 23 are the verses that we're zeroing in on. And it says there, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And of course, we're on the second one, joy. And it's a great blessing to know that when we trust in Christ and we have the Holy Spirit, living within, we get a joy about us. And that's different from happiness. The two are not the same thing. Joy is an inner gladness, and it's a deep-seated pleasure. And it is a depth of assurance and confidence that ignites a cheerful heart. And it's a cheerful heart that leads to a cheerful behavior. In other words, we can only really get excited about, you know, our life with Christ once we know Him. The joy of the Lord is not the same as the joy of the world. It's two different things, totally different. The joy of the world is more of a temporal pleasure than joy of the Lord. The world's joy is always nagged by some incompleteness or some lack or some unfulfilling thing, some missing ingredient, some need still existing. I would have more joy if thus and so. But the joy of the Lord is something that's completed once we've trusted in Christ. And there's not a completeness to the joy of the world. You're always looking for a little more joy or a little more happiness. That's why, you know, you go by a lot of places and they have happy hour, because people are sad the rest of the day, I guess. But I never did really see any happiness in happy hour, personally. That never really appealed to me. But I was saved as a boy. I wasn't saved later in life. And I've got a feeling people that go to happy hour really are not that happy, you know. And there's a knowledge of the fact that I'm looking for joy, but I'm not finding it. That's the joy of the world. And the haunting awareness always keeps the world's joy from being full and complete, assuring and satisfying. But the Lord's joy, it is complete. And it is, it's from the Lord. And that's what makes it so great. A believer's joy is divine. You know, we don't get it of ourselves. We get it from the Lord. It's possessed and given only by God. And its roots are not in earthly or material things or cheap triumphs. It's in the joy of the Holy Spirit, a joy based in the Lord. And it is His very own joy. It's the joy that God has because we've trusted in His Son. And once we've trusted in His Son and we understand the benefits that we have by being saved, then we really realize that we have something to be really joyful over. John 15:11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." You see, we get it from the Lord. "And that your joy might be full." Joy doesn't depend on circumstances and happenings. Happiness, it depends upon happenings. But the joy that God implants in the believer's heart overrides all. Even the matters of life and death are involved in this. It's real joy. Psalm 5:11 says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So the joy, it comes from the Lord. It's the joy that we know we have a home in heaven, that our sins are forgiven, that we don't have to pay for our own sins with our own death. It's real joy. Joy springs from faith. In Romans 15:13, the Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Note the joy that at Christ's birth, when Christ was born. It says in Matthew 2:10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." And there was singing and music and all involved with his birth. Joy of future reward makes and keeps the believer faithful. In Acts 20:24, Paul says, "But none of these things move me," the things that happened to him. "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I'll tell you one thing. I've been in ministry a long time, and there were a lot of trying times, but none of it dims the joy that I've had in what God has done in and through me. And I know that there's others here that have labored for the Lord, and you would say the same thing. I understand that. Why? Because we have joy. We have the joy that we get from the Lord, and because of what God has done, and it's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Joy of future rewards, you see, and it keeps the believer faithful. Now, I want to talk about some of the sources of joy. One source of the joy is the fellowship of the Father and His Son, and that brings joy to the believer. In 1 John chapter 1, notice what it says in verses 3 and 4. 1 John 1, 3 and 4. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So, we have joy because we have an intimate fellowship with the Father and the Son. God the Father, God the Son. And we have the indwelling third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Well, man, we've got reason to have great joy. Deep joy. Lasting joy. Godly joy. And then another thing. Victory over sin and death and hell brings joy. It says in John chapter 14 and verse 28, "Ye have heard how I told, said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." In chapter 16, verse 22, he says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow." In other words, because Jesus was going to be away. "But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." In other words, we have a joy that we won't lose. The worldly joy comes and goes, you see. And then repentance brings joy. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and verse number 10. Notice what it says in those verses. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Likewise I say unto you There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Listen, we ought to rejoice because we just heard about two children trusting Christ as their personal Savior. During this past week, during VBS, there were three others that professed faith in Jesus Christ. That's five. Hey, it's worth it all. It's worth it all, you see. And hopefully this coming week we'll hear some good news about some others that maybe never had heard about Jesus or had never trusted in Christ as their personal Savior. And we can rejoice in that when it comes about. But it's important for us to realize that when repentance comes, joy comes, you see. The hope of glory brings joy. The fact that one day we're going to be in glory. Now, I don't know what heaven is like. I mean, you know, other than what I read in the scriptures, but I've not been there. But I'll tell you one thing. Once we get there, we won't want to come back. I mean, even as nice as it is in Singapore, we'll say, hey, this doesn't hold a candle to what God has waiting for us. Once we really see it, you know, we'll realize that. The hope of glory. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So, hope of glory brings joy. One day, we're going to see Jesus face to face. We're going to be with him in glory. And then, the Lord's Word. What joy you can get from it. Like the revelations that are given in all of the Bible, and of course, the book of the Revelation as well. The commandments, the promises which he made. It brings joy. In John chapter 15 and verse 11, the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We have a hard day. We go home, we sit down in our easy chair, and we open the scriptures, and we read some of the promises that he has given us. And it brings joy to our heart, although maybe we had a stressful day at work today, you see. And what joy the Word of God can bring to you. My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. God gave us the revelation so that we would have joy and be looking forward to our time with Him in eternity. Another thing that brings joy is the commandments of Christ and the will of God. It brings joy. Obeying and doing a good job stirs joy within the believer's heart. I don't know any woman that doesn't get excited when she has worked in the kitchen for a long time and the family comes in and eats the meal and all of them brag about how good that meal was. Even though she has perspiration on her forehead, and her back may be a little tired from mixing up the dough and all that was involved in it, still she is joyful because of that. You see, that's the way it is. Obeying and doing what God wants us to do, and when we do that, we end up the result of that. I know I've done what God wants me to, and we have a joy in our heart because of it. In John 15:11, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And, the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is just not for now, it's eternal. And we can depend upon it, because God's Word is eternal. And then prayer brings joy, especially when we have answers to prayer. Wow, that is great, isn't it? In John 16:24, it says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. God wants us to be joyful. And sometimes we're not joyful. We may be moping around the house and our lips hanging down. And, you know, things aren't going my way. And have you prayed about it? Well, no, I've not prayed about it. Well, pray about it. In other words, things may work out. God may help and things work out. Prayer brings joy, especially when it's answered. And then the presence and fellowship of believers bring joy. I'll guarantee you the young people are going to enjoy their time at camp this year. They're going to enjoy it. All of them are looking forward to it. I know they are. They go out there and they play games and have quizzes, and I don't know what all they're going to do, but they have a lot of different things they're going to do, and they're looking forward to it. I would too. I'm looking forward to being in camp. I'm not going to stay there all night. I'm a great grandfather, so I'll let the younger ones take care of that. But I enjoy being around people when they're enjoying life, and it brings joy to my heart that we're able to have a ministry like that here at Heritage, and young people can come and they can sing the songs about the Lord, and they can read and study Scripture and realize what God would like to do in their life. So the presence and the fellowship of believers brings joy. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I'm hoping those that give the lessons and such can inspire a love for the Word of God and for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's nothing like it on the earth. A real knowing a relationship with the Lord is one of the great things that Christians have that the world doesn't have any idea about if they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is such an important thing. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have life more abundantly. But you only get the abundant life when you really are living it with God involved in your life. You know, when a person's not saved, it's like trying to live life on two-thirds of your life. They're doing nothing in the spiritual realm of their life. But once you get that plugged in, you're running on 100% instead of 66%. And what a difference that makes. And once we really get a hold of that and understand this fellowship and the presence of the Lord and the fellowship of other believers, that's when we really get real joy and know that our joy is here. We can experience it here, but also in eternity as well. Converts bring joy. When you see other people saved, doesn't it get you excited? It sure does me. I like to see people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Paul says there, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And one of the greatest joys I have is seeing people saved and then see them, you know, grow up in the Lord, become spiritual giants in the things of the Lord. Many of the people that I've trained in the past, much better preachers than me. Oh, they can out-preach me a long time ago, you know. And great preachers. And I hope someday you get to visit the West Indies and hear some of these men that I taught years ago. And it's such a blessing to see how the Lord just matures people spiritually. And brings great joy. And then hearing that others walk in the truth brings joy. In 3 John, verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I'm sure some of you that are a little older in the Lord and you've been in the church here for a while and you've seen others that have been saved and now they're developing spiritually and now they're starting to come into their own, so to speak. It's time, everybody needs to mature. If someone has a little baby and, if the baby is born and 10-pound baby. Well, maybe not here, but let's say a 10-pound baby. But, a month later, the baby's still 10 pounds. And the next month, it's still 10 pounds. And then the next month, and now we're getting up to 3 months, and that's still 10 pounds. Everybody's going to start getting concerned about it, you see. If we get concerned about the babies in the Lord and make sure that they don't stay at 10 pounds, you understand me? We want them to develop. We want them to grow up. We want them to mature. We want them to be spiritual giants, even in this life. And age has nothing to do with it, you see. I know some young people, I've known some that started preaching. Brother Smith said he started preaching, I think, at 14 and preached ever since. And he's in his 80s now, but he preached his first message when he was 14 years old. Now, what I'm trying to say is, it does bring joy when you hear about others that get saved and then they start walking in the Lord and they grow in the Lord. And then giving brings joy. Giving brings joy. Not just monetary giving, but giving of yourself. It brings joy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, it says, how that at a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You would be surprised what you could do by just giving a little attention, a little labor, a little prayer, a word. You never know. It isn't the big things we do that make the difference. It's a lot of the little things we do that makes the difference. You see, the real big difference. I'd like to talk about a story that Jesus Christ gave in the Word of God. And he came to the city of Capernaum. And when the people of the town realized that he was there, everyone wanted to see Jesus. I mean, what Jesus was doing, he was healing the sick. I mean, the blind were seeing, the lame were walking. I mean, these were miraculous things that he was able to do. And so many people there in Capernaum crowded around into the street and the house courtyard and the house that nobody could get to Jesus in the house. And Jesus was teaching the people and preaching to them in the house. And there were four men that had a friend that was sick. And he was sick enough that they were concerned about this man, this friend of theirs. And so they decided that they were going to take their friend that was sick with the palsy. And they took their friend. And when they got into the city of Capernaum and came to the house, there were so many people there that they couldn't get him inside to see Jesus. Yet they believed that Jesus could help him if they could just get him inside. Just get him in there. He would be able to help them. So they had picked up his bed because he couldn't walk, and they had carried him to the house. And then when they get there, they can't get him to Jesus. And so they decided, okay, I know what we'll do. And so they went around to the back of the house where there was a staircase that went up to the roof. And they went up on top of the house. And they opened up a place in the roof and lowered their friend on his bed down in front of Jesus that was down inside the house. And they were determined to get their friend to Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And some of the people who were looking on wanted to find fault because he had forgiven the man's sins. And Jesus realized that some were wanting to be critical of him and asked them, "Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and take thy bed and walk'?" You see, then Jesus turned to the palsy man and said, "Arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house." And of course, his palsy was healed, and he was able to get up off of his bed and fold the bed up and was able to walk out on his own two legs, walk out of the house. Now, the reason I'm telling you about this little story is because it says there in Mark, it says in verse number 12, "And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all." In other words, everybody that was there to see Jesus saw this man that was instantaneously healed of his palsy and was able to pick up his own bed and to walk out of the house. And it says there, "And he went before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" In other words, for a moment there, because of something that God did, even those that had not believed in the Lord were amazed to the place that they glorified God. Now, what were the friends doing? Well, I got a feeling they were up on top of the roof, jumping up and down and saying, "Praise the Lord, our friend has been healed." They were concerned about him. They were concerned. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Can you just imagine that man telling about his experience in the days after that? Was he joyful? Oh man, I'll guarantee you he was joyful. Were the four men that carried him there on the bed, were they joyful? Sure they were. And even the unsaved that were there listening to Jesus glorified God. You know, it's really worth it to serve the Lord. Well, first of all, it's worth it to know the Lord. That's great. I'm glad I'm saved. I wouldn't want to be any other way. The older I get, the more I'm glad I'm saved. But not only that, I want to see other people saved. I want to see my relatives saved. The last funeral I preached for my family, I had six of them profess faith in Jesus Christ. I didn't know those relatives that much, but apparently they weren't churchgoers very much. But at that funeral, they got a gospel message, and I gave an invitation, and six of them professed faith in Jesus Christ. You see, joy comes from the Lord. And if we want to really see people that are joyous, I mean really joyous, lasting joy, well, we have to get busy and do what God wants us to do while we can. What is that? Well, we got to introduce them to the Lord. We got to get them under the sound of the gospel. We got to get them to understand that their sins can be forgiven. We need to do our best with our relatives and our friends and our neighbors. They all need the Lord because they don't have joy like the joy that God gives. They might have happiness on the day of their birthday when they blow out the candles, and it's very brief and fleeting. But the joy of the Lord, it goes on for your lifetime and right on into eternity. Praise the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy.